finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shut Your Face with your host, me, Bree. Thank you so much for subscribing to this and listening to this and being supportive of this. It means the absolute world. It's the coolest thing ever. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Let's get into it. Hey guys, this is Bree. Welcome back to another episode of Shut Your Face Podcast. I wanted to go into the rabbit hole, down the rabbit hole, of a little something called like power and business and competition. So I'm going to run it back. Okay, I'm going to run it back to a particular situation that happened with me. And this girl, who was a customer, was stalking me. Now, side note, I've already stated this multiple times, right? If somebody is stalking you, like if they're, I mean, I don't mean like they're just looking at a couple of photos over the span of a couple of weeks. I mean, they are every day, on the hour, by the minute, blocking you for months on end. Okay? Big difference. Huge difference. If they are doing that, that's a problem. That's a problem. Okay? Now, one of the things, and I know some people might not want to believe that this happens, they don't think that it could happen to them or whatever have you, but the people closest to you are the ones that are going to hurt you. Now, that statement can be applied to, like, your significant other that's, like, close to you in the sense of knowing you, knowing what you do. They've been with you for years and things of that nature. But this particular girl, Taylor, this particular girl, we were not close. But she positioned herself very closely by watching me. Again, if you are watching for a couple of days, maybe you got to order in and you're just curious and you're excited, or, you know, you just met me, you're just like, oh, you know, what's up? Or not me, but you just meet somebody, right? And you're just like, oh, cool, what's up with them? You know what I'm saying? No. No, 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 no. This girl was watching me every second of the day. When I was posting a story, she was right there. And again, I'm very keen on energy. Like, if I feel a draw to something or someone that's very heavy, I'm going to go in that direction. Like, something's pulling me there. And I would watch this girl watch me for months. Months. Okay? Not have an order in, just watching me for months. Okay? Now, when somebody feels the pressure of getting caught, like when they feel like, when they feel like somebody's on to them, they're going to redirect that narrative. Okay? They are going to, it's almost like if you are speeding down the highway, okay, and you happen to pass by a cop, you automatically, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to either slow down and pray to God that he just going to fly by you, or you're going to get the fuck out of there. Okay? That's what happens when you feel pressure. So Taylor felt pressure when I decided to message her. Now, it's funny to me that nobody happened to see the respect I gave her by privately messaging her. I could have. I could have made a debacle of her. I could have taken those screenshots that I have and said, hey, look at this psycho, and got the whole, it could have been a 180. But I didn't. Unfortunately, people don't appreciate that shit. Whatever. So, unfortunately, I respected her enough to go, hey, why are you stalking me? Like, what's up? Like, what's the problem? Like, I'm really being very, very nice. Very considerate. Very like, hey, this is a private matter. Let me just ask you about it. That was pressure on her. So, she decided to alleviate that pressure. Throw it out on the internet. Twist the narrative to make me look out to be bad, and then I got the beating. Now, what's the whole point of me going back through this whole ordeal? The reason why people do that, and you know what, knock on wood, I'm a strong motherfucker, because not a lot of people can bounce back from that. So I'm really thankful that I had good customers that kind of were like, you know what, that's shitty. I had people reach out to me, they're like, that's disgusting. Okay, because you could see like right through it. You could literally just see through it. So knock on wood, I was, thank God, you know, I was able to kind of bounce back from that. But you could just see, because she specifically says, I'm not trying to be malicious, in a very mean girl tone, very obvious. She had to redirect that focus. When you make decisions out of fear, because that's what that is. When you make decisions out of fear, usually it don't work out. I did come back to my TikTok and started liking stuff out of the blue. And I thought, so you talk shit about me, made me out to be a bad guy. Then you turn around and want to show me some love on TikTok? Anyways. People, when they feel the pressure, they'll redirect the focus. They'll redirect the narrative, whether that's negative or positive. And for some reason, that's exactly what happened with that. I also felt like she thought she could do that because she's seen somebody else do it before. Monkey see, monkey do thing. Anyways, you never know what somebody's going to do. So I look back at that situation and I think to myself, I probably should have just kept my mouth shut. I probably just should have shut the fuck up and not said anything. I should have just blocked her and rolled on with my life. But for some reason, I thought that maybe you can, you know, like, converse with people and be like, yo, what's up? Because I'm very laid back in that matter. Like, I'm very like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm not going to do that type of shit to people. I'm just not. And sometimes that makes people think they can play with me. No, don't get it twisted. You know, you want to give the benefit of the doubt when you're working with people. You really do. But I'm starting to get to the point where the benefit of the doubt's actually going to be the last option. The first option is going to be fuck you. And benefit of the doubt's going to be the last option. Because it's like, you take these types of situations where I'm, you know, genuinely being kind of nice to this girl and be like, yo, what's up? Because I felt like somebody was either in her ear, she's seen something or something. And to me, I'd be like, okay, well, let's take this opportunity to clear this up. Let's make sure nobody looks dumb. Guess what happened? Everybody looks stupid. Everybody. The people laughing at me look just as fuck as dumb as they think that I looked. Now, the second rabbit hole I wanted to go down is Erica Kirk and Candace Owens. Ain't that her last name? Candace? Hold on, let me find this. Hold your horses. Okay?
No.
I think that it is Candace Owen.
Attempting to bankrupt me.
What is this?
Repeatedly tell the world that Brigitte Macron is a man. And Candace, it may be that the person in the media spewing bullshit to the public is you.
No, nice try. It's not. It's Could you be. By saying, why are you asking Could questions? Be. Don't you worry about Mikey's feelings? Everyone knows what this is. And like I said, because we have the example, the concrete example of after JFK's assassination, the media members quite literally being put on the payroll of the CIA, we have a historical example that we can look at and go, we're not. I also want to say to you that I feel very confident that I know why these planes have caused such panic, and it is because...
Unless you have a story.
Okay, you guys are crazy. You guys are absolutely crazy. The amount of people who attacked me for sending out a tweet being like, hey, I'm good, I'm alive. We had a very productive conversation. And they were like, she got the call. She got the call. Okay, everybody. Shabbat shalom. I just want to say Shabbat shalom. 4.5 hours later, I'm alive.
Okay.
I'm alive.
So, little backstory. Little backstory. Because I haven't really been keeping up with this, but it's been like on the back burner of my brain. Candace Owen has been obviously very, very, very outspoken about the whole Charlie Kirk thing, his assassination, all the facts about it, the way that it's been handled, kind of not really spotlighting Erica Kirk, but kind of spotlighting Erica Kirk on her own, like, on her own actions. I said I wasn't going to get into this, but I kind of got to, because now it's like took a plot twist. They have spoken, and apparently they had a really long conversation, and I still feel like Erica Kirk, I don't know, when your ex-husband's best friend is more adamant about trying to figure out what's going on than you are, that's a red flag. Your spouse, your late widow, your late husband, whoever, should be, if you were in love, if it was a great marriage, if it was all this kind of stuff, should be the front row first person to headline and find out what's going on. And that's not what Erica did. Erica put on a production show of this memorial and all of this stuff, and then now apparently she's with her ex-boyfriend. Girl, it ain't even been a year. Are you serious right now? It has not even been a fucking year. Whoa, like that's not even respect for the people that are watching you. That was a big fuck you. Whether you in love with the man or not, whether you had problems or not, let's even throw this out here and say that there was an, affair going on. Let's just hypothetically speaking, I'm not saying there was, but just hypothetically speaking. A smart person would wait. You would wait. You would not throw that out there right now. Like, that is insane to me. That makes me think one of two things. One, she's got backup. Like, she's got people backing her up to make her feel that confident. That's very confident. It's like they're just slinging audacity out at Walmart at this point. Like, you could just go pick up a bag. Let's say that you... Even if I hated my husband and he got shot, wouldn't you have enough respect for his family, for the public, for all of these other people that you say you care about before you would actually do that? Girl, it's got a set of balls, son. But, I'm talking like I actually know these people. I don't, you know, obviously don't know them. We don't know the actual, circumstances that are happening and all that kind of good nature. I'm about to Google this and just make sure. Let's see this. Cabot Phillips. I probably said that wrong. Is Erica Kirk's ex-boyfriend, and he is now doing Turning Point USA, had a lead like Charlie conferences like at universities. Wait. I'm not seeing a confirmation. of this. So I'm not trying to spread false information or anything, because like I'm not about that life. But let's just see. Oh, her ex-boyfriend is now doing How to Lead Like Charlie at Turning Point USA. Girl. Oh, girl. You know, oh, Lord have mercy. You know, if you are grieving, obviously, right? We're going to give, I know I just said this, but we're going to give the benefit of the doubt. This girl's grieving, right? Let's just say she is. I would not, you know what? I'm just going to move on to something else. We're just going to move on to something else because I don't know all the gifs with this, but if that's the case, girl, bye. So the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about was therapy and therapists and like mental health and this whole everything about this. I need to say something. Why do people think that something's wrong with you if you go to therapy? I mean, I'm not going to change the world's like vision on this, but why do people think that something's wrong with you just because you go to therapy? The amount of therapist egos that I have absolutely crushed is starting to get a long list. Because, what? They don't need help. I'm talking to you about people. I don't, like, it's this automatic. No wonder. Actually, no wonder there's so many people that don't get help as far as the education that you want to learn because of this stigma. And then the whole like word mental health. It sounds like you have a no. I'm like trying to have this conversation with this girl and I'm literally telling her how to do her job. I'm like, you know, no, this is what happens. No, this is how this happens. And I'm just saying to myself, this is not how this is supposed to be. There's a huge, I feel like there's a huge, I feel like there's probably a lot of people in that space that don't have the mental capacity and the emotional intelligence to actually do well in that space because they don't know what they're doing. They think, oh, okay, well, this person just needs help. We'll just tell them a couple of life lessons or whatever. No, there are some really, really smart people that are misunderstood, end up in therapy just because they're misunderstood. And then they have to turn around and feel like they're the problem when they're actually not the problem. That leads back to my whole like conversation we were having about school shootings and such. You know, I have a very different perception of this, but nobody addresses what makes a child do that. Nobody. Which, like, what? Every time it happens, it's, oh, this kid's got problems. This kid has mental health issues. This kid is disturbed. Has it ever crossed your mind, Karen? Maybe the kid's being bullied 24/7 and nobody's fucking listening to him. Maybe his home life sucks. Maybe he lives in a fucking pigsty. Like, I don't know. Have you not looked at any other extra environmental things that would have anything to do with it. It's just like basic common sense. You know, you don't get a flat tire unless you run over a nail. Okay, well, the nail caused the flat tire. It's so basic. It's so common sense. But for some reason in our world, we look at the tire and go, the tire has a problem. No. The nail caused it. Nobody looks at the root of the fucking problem. And it's like, you're not going to get, I already can foresee this, but you're not going to get anywhere in the conversation with somebody that has this preconceived thing, like they think they're better than you, and they think you need help. This person's not right. They need help. No, sweetie, actually, I'm making a lot of fucking sense. Yeah. Click, next one. Like, you know, people that are labeled crazy. Where's the manipulator at? Where's the catalyst? Yeah, we're over that. No. They're not crazy. Who's making them crazy? That's probably 80 to 90% of, like, the situations out there. Are there actual, real, legit mental health issues with people and the way that their brains work? Like, physically, the way their brains work? Sure. Absolutely. I'm not downplaying that at all. Because there's science to back it up. But there are a lot of other situations where people don't have mental health issues. They're just around the wrong motherfuckers. I'll take the perfect example. I've gotten away from the group of people that, like, made themselves out to be great. And, like, we're happier now that we're away from them. It's as basic as moving a plant in the shade to the sun. In the shade, it withers and dies. In the sun, it fucking thrives. Like, people are the same way. So it blows my mind. One, it's an insult to my intelligence sometimes when I speak to these people. And it's like, imagine other people that have to go through the same thing as me. Sitting here looking at somebody, like, I just need somebody to talk to. Like, it's not that deep. We just want to talk about life. Like, almost like dinner talk, okay? And we want to talk about certain things. And you're sitting there trying to, like, make me feel like I need help? No. I don't need help. I just want to talk to you about some things. So, that's frustrating. It's very frustrating because, like, help has now been, like, turned into this stigma. This, like, you know, oh, they need help. Something's wrong with them. No. We really just want to ask you certain things that may help us. It's not like that type of help. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Anyways, I also wanted to talk about a status that I saw where this girl was basically judging a breast cancer awareness event that happens every year at this place. She was passing judgment on some girls that she saw. We all do. Like, you know, I mean, we've all passed judgment before in our life. It's like society has kind of ingrained our brains to do that. It's a lot of people do it. Okay? For sure. Absolutely. But I'm trying to actively stop and go, okay, what if? Because you never know. Because I've seen the what ifs. I've seen it go. I have been, like, humbled, knocked off my high horse. Like, I have been through those experiences where you're like, oh, shit, I was wrong. Because I didn't think about another perspective of a situation. So, apparently, this girl was there, and she had on this, like, teddy thing or whatever, that was very showing. And the girl that made the post about it was just like, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, I think I would probably be more ashamed if I go to church and then do something like that. That's what I'd be more ashamed of than a half-naked woman. It's almost like people don't care about their character. They care more about the outward appearance. I have dealt with more half-naked people that have better character than a lot of the Christian goers I've dealt with. I know more strippers that got better character than half the people I've dealt with in the horse industry. More than half. I'll stand on that. I have no problem standing on that. And that, you know, that comment really kind of gets to people. And I'm laughing because I don't mean it, like, hurtful. I'm laughing because it's so basic that the person that's offended could fix it. It's almost like back to that girl on TikTok that was exposing the churches for the baby formula and all that kind of stuff. This one particular church in Tennessee, God forbid Tennessee, right? Instead of publicly going, you know what? We made a mistake. We need to correct ourselves. We need to reevaluate what's going on. And you could have earned a lot of respect. The preacher got on the internet, TikTok, videos or whatever have you, talking about how you need to be careful of the demons running around trying to trip you up. Okay. You already went from here to here. You turn around and went back down here. And you wonder why. Like, but it's not my place to sit here and change that or have anything to do with that. So we're just going to roll on to the next thing. Roll on to the next thing. T. Swift. So, I have no problems admitting that I was not a Taylor Swift fan. It wasn't that I actively hated her. I just actively didn't have anything to do with the space she was in. The culture, those type, anything. Like, you know, it just was not a part of my life for a long time. I didn't actively kind of, you know, listen to Taylor Swift, any of that type of stuff, until the last couple of years. I think, let me explain why I think Taylor Swift is where she's at. Because, I'll be honest with you, can she sing like Adele and Whitney Houston? No. Actually, no. Are her lyrics really pop? The majority of her songs, no. She's got those big hits, those few big hits that make her bigger that you can really kind of chime to. But the rest of her lyrics, you've got to kind of listen to them. But I think that is what actually makes her. She's more relatable. You know, like when you think of Adele, you think, oh, we can't touch her. No matter how nice she is, no matter how like down to earth and humble she is or whatever have you. Because she went through a rough divorce. You know, Taylor Swift talks about all her breakups. Adele went through a really bad divorce, but you still feel like, it's Adele. Oh my God, right? Like she's this voice. It's actually helps Taylor, even though she's massively bigger than Adele. Like, Taylor is widely bigger than Adele as far as just like fan base and the way that people pronounce themselves of being Swifties, like, you know, massively bigger. Her voice isn't like Adele, but I think that makes her more relatable, so you feel connected to Taylor. You just feel connected to her for some reason. And then the second thing was like her lyrics and stuff. So she hits on emotions that make you feel normal because you see other people relate to them. So it makes you feel normal. You know, you have Celine Dion, you have Adele, you have these amazing singers out here. But they, like Mariah Carey, perfect example. Mariah Carey can obviously sing. It's Mariah fucking Carey, right? But, you don't relate to Mariah. who has security every time they go out? Who wears diamonds? Who dresses up? Like, you know, her lifestyle and the way she presents herself is not relatable to your average listener, your average buyer. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, well, that's Mariah. Moving right along, you know? So, it's like, but Taylor, you see out here wearing jeans and a sweatshirt, and you just like, she's like, you feel like you could... You feel like you could call Taylor and be like, yo, let's go get a beer, dude. You know? You couldn't do that with Mariah Carey. Because she's like up here, you know? I think that is what fuels Taylor's massive popularity. She also kind of talks about things that everybody has experienced. And the feeling of normalcy in a society and in a generation that actually just kind of exploits grandiose things. Like, you can get on TikTok right now and see people driving in G-Wagons, and they've got, you know, they're all about the Birkin. And then, like, this lifestyle. People get really caught up into that. And yes, even though the people that actually can't afford it don't do it or whatever have you, it's just, it's, if you want to connect with people, you've got to feel and make, you've got to feel relatable, okay? And down on their level, and not down like they're below you, but just like on the ground, standing on the ground, and not in some up there universe that doesn't exist. And I think that's what fuels kind of who she is and why people can just connect with her. People don't... I have come to the conclusion, and I hate to say this, but people don't want you to be good to them. Nobody told me happy birthday. None of the people I busted my ass for, I went above and beyond for, sacrificed for, do you think that they took time out of their day to wish me a happy birthday? That's probably the hardest part about defamation and slander, is that you're watching somebody treat you in a way that you know they wouldn't if they knew the truth. It can be, it can drive you crazy if you let it. If you get caught up in the whole, like, proving yourself, I've got a Tinder update for you. Somebody needs to supervise me, because I'm in the wrong app, I'm not in the right area. not at all. Women really are not the prize anymore. And I have a conflict with this, because let me tell you why. It's a circle to me. Like, I don't understand it. Because here's the thing. When you're a single female, you obviously have to provide for yourself. Like, I've worked on my own vehicles. I pay my own bills. I do my own hustle. Like, I don't want to say boss, because that's like not, I'm not into that culture. Excuse me. But, like, I'm single, so I have to do those things. Like, there's no other way around it. I have to take the trash out. I have to do what would be considered masculine roles. Because I have to. I have no other, like, we don't have anything else here. Okay? Apparently, this is a turnoff to men. Okay? What do you want me to do? not pay my bills, not take the trash out, not fix my car, not do what you have to do. It's almost as if it's like, it's a double bind. You need to be strong, and you need to be boss, and you need to be all these things. But we don't want that. We want you to be soft, and we want you to depend on you. But then when we do that, you make us become boss. You make us become what we don't want to be. Like, I'm tired. I don't want to do the man shit. Like, I'm not a part of that culture. I don't agree with you. I would love to be the woman. I would love to be the woman and Betty Homemaker and fucking do all of that type of stuff, all right? And still be able to make my own money and walk away. Cake and eat it too. Like, I would love to be able to have streams of income to take care of me just in case. Because don't ever rely on somebody else. I don't care if it's a man or a woman or a family member. Never rely on somebody else for your livelihood. Period. Okay? So I would still like to have that stream of income just in case. But are y'all crazy? I would absolutely sit at home, look pretty, fucking bake shit, and like, you can go out and go make the money. But that's the circle that I'm talking about, right? Okay? If you do that, a man will take advantage of it and tell you that you're not, you know, doing enough. Well, ain't this what you wanted? They'll get tired of you. They'll like it. They won't appreciate that. Men want that wife, but they're not willing to do what it is to get that. And then you've got women doing what they need to do in order to survive, and then men don't want that. It's see how big of a circle it is? Why do you act like a man? Because I'm single. Well, why are you single? Because I don't have a man. Because I act like one. Like, you see? You see? And it's like, it's so like frustrating. I literally had this dude text me, okay? Apparently I didn't get back to him quick enough. I'm sorry, Ralph. But my business that pays my bills is more important than you. I don't even know your fucking middle name. Like, what? I mean, granted, we don't want you to feel no type of way, okay? We don't want to hurt your feelings, and we're not being rude because, you know, 24 hours is not that long of a time. I literally deal with people in business that take a fucking week, and that's a whole nother podcast, actually. We'll talk about that on another podcast, because how in the fuck are you going to say you're in business but you can't speak to people? Whatever. Back to the Tinder update. I'm in the wrong app. Like, I'm looking to, like, get to know people and possibly date with intention. And I'm in the wrong area. Because I'm not about the hookup culture. Like, I'm all about meeting people. And I'm all about making friends and doing that type of ordeal. But no. I feel like something's wrong with me. But, okay. But it is. It's very frustrating in the dynamics of gender roles. Because you've got a lot of people out there that are pushing, we don't need them. We don't need them. Okay, well then, now we have problems. Okay, well that is the problem. Okay, well then, no, we don't need, like, you just see the circle? If men are masculine person would do what but they're supposed to do, and the female and the feminine, it'd be great. But now you've got men acting like women trying to go into fucking women's bathrooms. How did we get here? Here's the deal. Like, me personally, I feel like you have the God-given right to love whoever the fuck you want to love. If you are a woman and you like men, go for it. If you are a man and you like men, go for it. I don't fucking care. But there are societal rules and boundaries that shouldn't be pushed out of respect for other people. I saw Jeffree Star, and I wasn't really like, again, like, when I become a fan of something, I just really didn't think about you before. It's not like I hated you and then now like you. I just didn't think about it. Well, I happened to run, I knew who he was and, you know, what he did or whatever, but again, really didn't think anything about him until I seen him do a TikTok. And Jeffree Star is, he is a beautiful person. He really is. Anyways, he's always had dyed colored hair. He's tatted all over. He's in the makeup, beauty space. And I seen a TikTok of this person walking into a man's bathroom dressed as he is. And the caption's like, it's not that complicated. Or it's just that simple. Immediate fucking fan. Because you've got to give respect to those men who chose to live the life that they wanted to live, which is, they have that right, right? But they took it with all the pros and the cons. They said, you know what? I'm a man dressed like a fucking woman, but I'm still going to grab my ball sack and walk into the fucking men's bathroom because that's what I am at the end of the day. Now you've got the whole situation that happened at Gold's Gym, and the lady called out the man that was in the woman's bathroom talking to her some type of way, being some type of way. She had every gold. The fact that Gold's Gym punished her is wrong. That's the problem. That's where the issue lies. Not the woman calling her out. Not even the man being in the woman's bathroom. The fact that Golds or these other establishments, these companies, these places are letting this happen is the problem. Golds should have said, you're a man, get out of the women's bathroom. We don't care about however you want to be, whatever. You're a man, you've got a dick and a ball sack, get out. Go to the men's bathroom. Period. Handled. End of conversation. The lady calling him out should have never ever been prosecuted the way that she was. And I say that like objectively. I don't think, no, there was no like actual charges or anything like that. But she never should have been put in that situation. She had every right to fucking say something. And she should have been respected. The other person, we obviously can't do nothing because they feel so entitled that they feel so entitled, like, I'm a woman now, I can walk in here. No, you can't. Brenda. You're not going to do anything about that. You're not going to sit there and change that person's mind because they've already done what they think they're entitled to do, regardless of how it makes anybody else feel. So it's now on the establishment, the catalyst, the thing that holds the entire situation together to do something about it. Just like schools and school shootings. Schools need to do something about it. Anyways, Gold's Gym should have said, they should have turned the other way. So, it really does make you question, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where we are actually talking about what I just talked about? Again, if you're a man and you love a man, go for it. I think you have that right. You should not be condemned for who you want to love. Okay? Or if you're a woman that loves a woman, go for it. I fucking love women, right? Actually, I had people ask me if I was gay, and I'm not gay. I like men, but I love women too. So anyways, like, you know, if you want to love, you want to love them. Love them. You have that right. I don't think you should condemn somebody for who they want to love. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit. And all these Bible thumpers want to talk about how it's against religion. Karen, you gossip before you walk into the fucking and sit down on a pew. Like, whatever. So anyways, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where it's just okay to disrespect anybody? Do we not stop and go, how is this going to make this person feel? Just like me and Taylor. I took the initiative to go, okay, let me ask this girl privately why she's stalking me. Maybe she'll tell me what she's being said. Maybe I can correct something. Maybe I can stop something bad from happening. Because that was my intention. If you actually look at the messages, if you look at what I'm saying, you'll see that. My whole intention was, like, why are you doing this? And I'm comparing it to other people, trying to maybe make her feel better. I'm just kind of like, did somebody say something? Do I need to correct something? I even did that with the cattle place that we had the lawsuit with. I asked her, do I need to correct something? I'm giving you the opportunity to stop something bad. This does not have to happen. Like, this does not have to go this way. Do I need to fix something? Do I need to correct something that you were told? Nope. The next thing you know, you're out a lot of money and you got to apologize on the internet like a dumbass. I tried.